Okay, well, now it's my turn. He is risen. Ah, friends, I love Easter so much. It's my favorite Sunday of the year. Even today, I've just been feeling really emotional and so thankful that we follow a God who is not dead, but that is alive and that is resurrected and that knows me and knows you personally. And the beauty of Easter is that our God is alive. I love the changing season. I love the chocolate. I love all the things that were mentioned in those Easter traditions. Thank you for all of you who contributed to reading the story and the Tiny Mike video and leading us in worship and everything that goes into this. It's not just that Easter is a memory of things that happened in the past. I was thinking about the Tiny Mike video got me thinking about kind of my favorite Easter traditions, and that got me thinking about like my childhood and then how that changed kind of as I was like in high school and stuff like that. And then for some reason, I started thinking about my grade 11 German class. Did anyone take German in high school? No one, not one person. Sorry, some people did, yes, okay. How about French? Okay, excellent. More of you. And so just so you know, I was not a good German student. I took German because I couldn't speak French. I was like, it doesn't work. And so I took German, and it turns out that was no better. I took German for 4 years in high school, and if it wasn't for my friend Harvey Spindler, who helped me probably more than he should have, I definitely would have failed German. But I think it turned out all right because I can preach in German. You're supposed to be impressed. All right. Okay. Here we go. Here I'm going to preach in German. Let's go.
David ist ein mächtiger und einflussreicher geliebter König seines Volkes, weil militärische Eroberungen geführt und viele Siege für sein Volk errungen hat. Und durch all das hindurch wird David
Not only that, Miss Galambos, my grade 11 German teacher, she would be so proud of me for how well I can preach in German. I also tried some Arabic, so let's try that. Let's see.
David هو ملك قوي ومحبوب من شعبه لأنه قاد الفتوحات العسكرية وحقق العديد من الانتصارات لشعبه.
And you know I'm really preaching because my lips are moving, right? And so, and then I was like, okay, let's try something even harder. So I was like, okay, let's go with Mandarin. I hear that's a pretty tough one. Friends, I can preach in any language, just so you know. This is, and as it turns out, taking German in high school was a waste of time. Because who needs it when you can just upload a video of yourself to the internet and it will translate it into any language you want? I found this AI software and it even gets your lips to move. And I was like, man, like grade 11 Kevin stressing for my grade 11 provincial German final, like could not even imagine that this was possible. Like as it turns out, technology and the future are already here. The future is now, friends. And it's not just with technology. The future is now is actually the message of Easter. It's the heart of the good news about Jesus kind of bursting into today, into our reality where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Thank you so much to those of you that read and that we heard the story of Jesus' resurrection and how that was so like amazing and mind-blowing for the people that saw him and saw the empty tomb on Easter morning. But this morning, as we're kind of finishing off our Behold the Man, Jesus, Behold the Man, looking at the I Am statements of Jesus, I want to take us back to another tomb in a place called Bethany that happened even before Jesus' resurrection. There was a grieving family for a man named Lazarus who had died. He'd gotten sick and he died. And in chapter 11 of John, we read about the story of Lazarus' death and how Jesus raises him from the dead, kind of like a pre-resurrection resurrection. So Lazarus and Martha and Mary were siblings, and they were all really good friends of Jesus. They would hang out, and they knew each other really well. They were some of Jesus' closest friends. And because Jesus was known to be someone who could heal the sick, when Lazarus got sick, his sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus and said, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Come back and heal him, because they knew that he could heal. But Jesus took a really long time to get there. So long, in fact, that Lazarus was already dead in the tomb for 4 days before Jesus finally arrived. So Mary and Martha and Lazarus' friends and family, they were all grief-stricken, and Martha went out to meet Jesus. And Martha said some words to Jesus that I think a lot of us have probably said to Jesus. She said, "Jesus, if only, if only." She said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only." Words filled with so much regret and pain and helplessness, really. Most of us experience a lot of if-onlys in our lifetime. If only I hadn't said that mean, horrible thing to someone I love or care about. If I hadn't lost them. If only I hadn't made that really bad investment. If only that accident hadn't come and changed everything for me. Or if only that diagnosis didn't derail everything in my life. If you had your life to live over again, and you could fix or change or undo something in your past to change that what if, that if only, what would you change? Like, imagine Doc Brown and Marty McFly show up in the DeLorean, like Back to the Future style. They cruise in, and they're like, "We'll take you anywhere you want, and you can undo one thing in your past. Where would you go? If only it could be different." For Martha, it would have been the death of her brother Lazarus. So when Jesus arrives, Martha starts the conversation with her, "If only. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." There's so much pain and confusion and grief in her statement. And I love what Jesus does here. Because Jesus, this is a really long story in John chapter 11, so we're not going to read it all today, but I encourage you to check it out. But this is what he does. Jesus knows that he's about to do something extraordinary. He knows that he is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is aware of his own plan. And even though he knows that Martha's grief is about to be turned into joy, he doesn't minimize her pain at all. He actually enters into it. It says in John chapter 11 that Jesus wept at the loss of his friend and the pain that his friends were experiencing. He lets Martha express her pain and he empathizes with her. He is gentle. Jesus is patient and kind and present with Martha in that moment of extreme grief. The spoiler, right? Like, we know that Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he lets Martha ask her if only. He lets that sit. If only you had been here. In her conversation with Jesus, later Martha says that she knows that Lazarus is going to rise to new life at the resurrection in the future. In the future resurrection, when all things are made new. And she's thinking that resurrection is a moment in time in the future. But Jesus responds with one of the most beautiful and profound I am statements and just statements in general that is made in all of Scripture. In verse 25, Jesus says to Martha, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." And he says, "Do you believe this, Martha?" He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not, "I will be the resurrection in the future," or "I was the resurrection at a point in history." He's saying, right now, I am the resurrection in this moment, in today. He doesn't just promise something for the last day. He embodies the resurrection. Jesus is telling Martha that the resurrection isn't an event in the future, but that Jesus is the resurrection here and now. The resurrection is not the resurrection is a person, and that person's name is Jesus. It's not an event. It's not a moment that we're waiting for. Jesus embodies the resurrection. And later on in our story in John chapter 11, Jesus goes to the tomb where Lazarus was laid, and he tells them to open up the tomb. And the people were reluctant for obvious reasons, because he had been in there for 4 days. But eventually they open up the tomb and Jesus prays. And then he shouts in a loud voice. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And everyone stood in wonder and fear and amazement, because that's actually what happened. Lazarus comes back to life and walks out of the tomb. He is alive, brought back to life through the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Not an event or moment in time. Jesus, the person, is the resurrection. How is this possible? Because death is supposed to win, right? Death is supposed to be the end. But when Jesus shows up, the future comes early. We don't have to wait. He is the resurrection, and that changes everything, even for right now. Easter reminds us that Jesus is not waiting to show his power. He has revealed his power, and his power is available today, right now. We heard about Jesus' resurrection in the readings that some of our families read earlier. And resurrection isn't just a cool party trick of Jesus. It's the triumphal inauguration of his kingdom and a new way to live, a new way to be human. And if Jesus is the resurrection, it means that Jesus is alive and with you today. Jesus is alive and with you today. Now, even in a resurrection story, even in the Lazarus resurrection story, not everything is bunnies and flowers and good times. There's real pain, and we see that experience through Martha and Mary and those who felt disappointment and loss over Lazarus' death. And chances are that in this room right now, many of us are celebrating Easter, but we're also experiencing some really difficult things in our lives. Life isn't always easy. It's not just flowers and rainbows and bunnies. But like Martha, I want you to know that Jesus wants to enter into your pain, and he will listen, and he will empathize, and he will give you space to grieve and to cry and to share those complex emotions that make you human. Even if healing and relief are just around the corner, Jesus wants to enter into whatever is important and whatever you're going through to sit with you and to listen. He is gentle and humble and kind, and he cares about you. Like Martha, bring your pain to Jesus. Sometimes he'll do a radical miracle, and sometimes he'll sit with you in the pain and hold you and carry you through it. Now, to be honest, I don't like living in this space. I don't like living in the pre-resurrection thing, but I also know that it's been really necessary for my own growth as a Jesus follower, as a human being, and I wonder how shallow would I be if I never experienced pain and hardship in my life. And so I want you to know that you are not doing faith wrong if it's hard. If following Jesus is hard, you're not doing it wrong. It's actually supposed to be hard, because Jesus is molding us and shaping us and transforming us into something new. And I also want you to know that Jesus today can bring life from death. So today, what is your if only? What is your if only? Let's go back to Martha. She thought the moment had passed and that death had won. She was standing in front of the resurrection himself, the person who is the resurrection. And so today I want us to think and wonder about, what area of your life feels dead where you need Jesus to bring resurrection? What is your if only? If only you could undo that mistake. If only you weren't so alone. If only you weren't so weak or broken or messed up. Jesus can meet you right there. And like Martha, he asks the same question. He will say, Kevin, do you believe this? Do you believe that this is true? Not do you believe in heaven, not do you believe that it will be right one day, but do you believe that Jesus can bring resurrection in your life today, right now? I think that the invitation that Jesus gives us in the story of Lazarus and through his own resurrection is that if-onlys become if Jesus. If Jesus is alive, it changes everything. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, calls out to me, like he did to Lazarus. And he says, Kevin, come out. Come out from death and pain and a way of life that leads to frustration and fear and regret. Come out of death and step into life. Like, this is a beautiful invitation that Jesus gives me and offers to you, a new way to live. I think that Easter is a reminder of what Jesus can do with those who trust him, with those who follow him. If Jesus is alive, I just want to think about this for a second. What does it mean if Jesus is alive? If Jesus is alive, then he can bring dead things to life. If Jesus is alive, no grave is too deep. If Jesus is alive, new life can start right now where you experience pain and death and hurt. If Jesus is alive, he can offer hope for broken or strained relationships. If Jesus is alive, then he knows your situation and he loves you through every moment of it. If Jesus is the Son of God, he loves you so much, then you today have infinite value and worth. You are so much more than what you do or produce or what you can't do. If Jesus is alive, you can stop performing or pretending or striving to live up to some impossible standard of success. If Jesus is alive, it's okay to be like Martha and to be broken and to need a savior. Like, that's actually a really beautiful place to start with Jesus, with your brokenness. If Jesus is alive, then death and failure and your sin and brokenness, none of those things have the final say. If Jesus is alive, then there is joy beyond whatever pain or suffering you are experiencing today. And like we've been looking at for the last several weeks in our Jesus Behold the Man series, if Jesus is alive, then he is the sustaining bread of your life. He can be the light of your world, the source of your life, your guide and your protector, the way to know and be known by God. He is the truest and most reliable part of your life, and the way by which broken parts of your life are brought back to new resurrection life. Jesus brings the not yet into the now. The future is now. So let's not wait for someday to be transformed by Jesus, because the resurrection is here. He wants to shape you and mold you into the best version of yourself. The future is now. Jesus is alive today. Do you believe it? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Right now, we're going to do something called the cross transformation. We saw some mentions of it in the video. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and they're going to kind of show us how to get going here. But a cross is meant to be something for torture and for pain and for death. It's ugly, and it's meant to be a source of execution. It's meant to be an instrument to bring about death. But if Jesus is alive, then he can bring life from death. That's what Easter is all about. And so what we're going to do today is together, we are going to transform this ugly symbol of death into a beautiful symbol of life. What we're going to do is the worship team is going to lead us in three songs. And so it's about 15 minutes, this next part. So you don't have to rush. You can stay in your seats, you can sit, you can stand, you could come get in line, but I'm going to ask that you would come forward in a moment and that you would come down either the center aisle or the aisle on your left or down the stairs on this side or through the stairs in the back if you're in the balcony, and that you would come walk by the front of the stage and you would pick up either a tulip or a daffodil. We have three kind of centerpiece arrangements. Don't take those apart. But the daffodils and the tulips are all fair game. To take one, go over to the cross and help transform the cross into something beautiful. And after you place your flower on the cross, you can exit through this aisle or you could go up to the balcony through these stairs. So that's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to take the symbol of death and turn it into a symbol of life. Because the resurrection changes everything, and so may it change us too. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And as the worship team leads us, you can come at any point. Like I said, you have about 15 minutes. You can come and help turn this cross from a symbol of death into a symbol of life. Because the future is now. Jesus is with us. Amen.